Will you join me in the call to worship? Sing a new song.
A joyful melody of springtime, glory, and rebirth.
Sing praise to our still laughing Easter God.
Who has rolled away the vines of yesterday.
Immerse your anxiety and despair in the fountain of new birth. For God has taken ordinary things
and made them extraordinary.
Sing a new song.
And just as Christ brought us peace on the evening of Easter, we now greet one another with the peace of Jesus Christ. Shall we gather together again? I welcome you all here on another joyous day of Easter, and you welcome me, I'm sure. I am Carrie Bale. I live up in Williamstown, and I'm very glad to be here with you on this Sunday after Easter. I think if there are announcements, people are supposed to be gathering here to give announcements, and I think there are many in the bulletin as well.
Morning. I'm Kathy Clark, speaking for the Mission in Action Committee about the success of our Price Chopper Pots and Pans for Food Pantry Patrons program. Apparently, we donated dozens of cookware items. Rosemary Carbonite, who runs the food pantry program, was exuberant when she called, and I don't think she does exuberant very often. The cookware was distributed through a lottery system, and dozens of Berkshire families went home last Thursday with cookware, which will allow them to cook more varied meals, more enjoyably, for many years. I'd like to mention one more thing about the food pantry. Non-food items like toilet paper, razors, toothpaste, paper towels can also be donated. These items are not covered by the government's SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. At the food pantry, typically each family can choose one personal care item per week. The day I was there, there were no personal care items to choose from. I also learned that if a package containing more than one item is donated, the package is broken down to single items. For example, a package of 12 rolls of toilet paper would end up going to a dozen families. Thanks to everyone for redeeming their free cookware bonus points, and keep your eyes peeled for other opportunities like this.
Good morning, I'm Tracy Wilson, and there's a lot of music going on at this church, so just to remind you, next Saturday, the 3rd of May at 5 p.m., the Stockbridge Festival Chorus is performing an all-American program. It's really a wonderful program, Aaron Copland and Randall Thompson, Leonard Bernstein. So we hope that you'll come next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Then the following Saturday, I don't know if Jack is going to say, but Saturday the 10th of May at 3 p.m., right here in the sanctuary, is an all-a cappella extravaganza. Two a cappella choirs that will be singing here, and one is Kathy Shane Lydon's choir, and the other is Jack's from Simon's Rock. And then speaking of Kathy Shane Lydon, tonight between 7 and 9 on WGBY. They're having singing all together, or all together singing, that you can listen and judge for your favorite a cappella group, and we know what our favorite a cappella group is. So please vote. Thank you.
Well, in the spirit of announcing things, I will give you a wild choice, which means you would have to drive up to Bennington this afternoon. But I have been singing in the Bennington County Chorale Society with Ed Lawrence, who is my former Minister of Music. And this is his very last choral concert. And it contains two masses, the Missa Criolla and Schubert's Mass, as well as some psalms that Ed has written. Since you're music-loving people, you may. If you just show up, it's at the Catholic Church in Bennington at 3 this afternoon. Anybody else? We proceed.
The first reading is Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad. And my soul rejoices, my body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
I'd like to invite the children to come up and have a little children's time with me. The legions of children today. Hi, I'm gonna sit, but I'll let you be here. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Do you remember what happened here last week? What happened? What was going on last week? There's a whole hubbub. There's like flowering of the cross, a lot of loud music. What was going on? Yes? Absolutely, Easter. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you much of a big deal do you think Easter is to us in the church? You are right on it, 10. It would actually probably even be turned up to 11 or 12, really, wouldn't it?
I think maybe even 100,
that's right. Because it's the entire basis of our faith, right? So the reason why, the way we know it's a big deal also, is that we keep on celebrating it for more than one day. There's an entire season of Easter, which is the reason why for the next several weeks we're going to be actually having the special white cloth that lets us know that it's Easter. You see the Easter lily on everything, and so we're going to be still singing big, joyful music and do all sorts of things that have to do about Easter. Does that make sense? All right. Well, let us stand up and have our Lord's Prayer time. And then you'll go off to your classes. Wow. Just the five of us. I like this. So can you help me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, see you later. Take care. Thank you.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. May God grant us a true understanding of these words.
Thank you. Always a little height adjustment here that I need to do. Let us pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you know this story, that I met my husband, who is African, in Hawaii. That is a rather complicated story, which I'll save for another time. But all three of our children were born there, just like Barack Obama. And yes, we do have their birth certificates, and they look a lot like his. When our eldest son was 2, we moved from an apartment to a small house that was less than 5 minutes from the beach. It was a tiny bay in between 2 banks of coral rock, full of tidal pools to explore, beautiful clear water to swim in, alongside sea turtles and other fish. The first time we brought him there, I remember he ran straight into the water without looking back, and he was swimming by the time he was 3. But I went one day with him on a rather cooler day, and he was so long in the water that he was very cold when he came out. So I had a huge beach towel and I wrapped it all around him several times, but somehow I neglected to leave his arms free. And so as we walked home along the short path, he fell, and with no arms to defend himself, got a big cut on his cheek. It bled and it bled and it bled. We decided to bring him to the emergency clinic, but once there, we found they don't stitch wounds that have come from coral rock because they're afraid of infection. And so all they did was put a little butterfly bandage to hold it together. Well, in the sway of small boys, he was fine the next day, but I was traumatized. What a horrible mother am I, thought I. Through my carelessness, my child has been scarred for life. It's my fault, all in my mind. And then I thought about it and realized this would be the first scar of many, that in the course of his life, he would accumulate many wounds, some visible, many more invisible. It's simply a part of life. Scars are a mark of being human. Physically, they show that there has been some damage and pain someplace in the body, but also remember that there has been healing. Blood clots stop the flow of blood, good hygiene prevents infection, care from oneself or another means full recovery. Scars are the story of a person who has history, whose past sticks with them physically as well as emotionally. Scars are a way of distinguishing who we are, of identifying us. Life makes each one of us an individual by marking us from our earliest days. A few years after the beach episode, our son had identical twin sisters arrive. They were identical. They were very, very hard to tell apart as infants, and some will tell you it's still hard 21 years later. At first, the only way we told them apart was by the little bracelets they put on in the hospital with their names on them. But when their pictures were taken at the hospital before we left, one of them had fortunately grown a fingernail long enough that she scratched her little cheek. And so when we got the baby pictures from the hospital, we could tell them apart by the little scratch. It didn't last long, and we had to figure out some other way of telling them apart, which we did fairly quickly. I have you thinking about scars now to get a sort of slightly different handle on the gospel story from this morning. Imagine yourself among that batch of disciples, back from the garden, but not really fully understanding what has happened, not knowing what to make of the news, and still pretty frightened, and wondering if they themselves were at risk, and huddling behind locked doors to make sure they were safe. Suddenly, somebody else is there, another presence, another person, but nobody unlocked the door. Who is this? Peace be with you, says the person. And for a moment, we're even scared, more scared, because who is he? Some kind of spy from the outside, an agent of the government? Who knows who this mysterious presence is? And then he shows them his scars, his hands, his feet, his side. Scars that they witnessed him receiving on that day. That cinched it. They knew who he was. They knew he was no hallucination. They knew he was their friend, their teacher, their Lord. And he comes back to them in a resurrection body and shows them the scars that suffering and death had inflicted on him. I remember being a child when I first heard that story and wondering, if you're going to come back and you're going to have a new body, then why would you have scars on it, right? Wouldn't you want to come back with a perfect body remade? One of my online preaching colleagues remarked, "We have a permanently scarred God. He comes back to be present with us with his own scars, yes, but to be present with us despite all the scars and wounds he has and all those which we ourselves bear. His hands, his side, his feet are reminders of what he endured for our sake." But I think what is most amazing about Jesus' scars is that they're not the most important thing. Indeed, after the disciples acknowledge them, they hear no more about it. There's nothing else in the passage addressing it. They are shown and they are forgotten. The detail to take away is this, that despite his tremendous suffering and wounds endured, it was not enough to put him out of the picture. Life triumphs, strength triumphs, love triumphs. Death and hatred are only little blips in the ongoing story being told, not the center of things at all. What matters is that Jesus was not bound by sin and death, but rather freed by it, freed to be present with us, his beloved, for all time. Now, that raises a question, at least for me, I don't know about you, but about your own identity, insofar as you think of yourself as a collection of past experiences. I remember my scars, the physical, visible ones, sure, but also the invisible, psychological ones. Not all of them are bad. Some of them are just life. I'll tell you a little story from a little over a year ago when I went to Africa for the first and only time with my husband. It was wonderful to be part of his family. I felt very much part of the family from the minute that I got there. But as I was planning to leave, getting ready to go, the women in the family wanted to give me a gift, and a gift of getting a henna tattoo, if any of you know what that is, on my wrists and on my ankles. And so they called in a friend who did this thing, and she made a beautiful, beautiful tattoo on my wrists and my legs. However, henna is not just henna anymore in Africa. They put in a little blip of black dye. And it turns out, as many hair colorists may tell you, many of us are allergic to this black dye. And I happen to be one of them. So I got home and I had this beautiful thing to show, and I also had terrible, terrible allergic reaction and scratching, and it was kind of intense. And I have some scars left from that process. But they are not scars that I remember with pain or discomfort, but with love and care, thinking of the women who provided it for me. Perhaps others of you have scars, some bad memories, some markers that remind you of love or courage or loyalty. And the stories of how you got them remind us of who we are part of who we are. But just as it is with Jesus, they do not define us. We are the ones who decide what to do with our self-understanding, with our stories. Are there times we allow negative events from the past to keep us tied down, locked behind doors, dwelling on our suffering and pain? I'm sure we've all felt like that at certain times. And in a sense, that's what the disciples were doing that evening in the upper room. They were nursing their own wounds, looking backwards at what had happened, stuck in the pain, trying not to let fear get the upper hand. And when Jesus appeared in their midst, they finally got it. When they recognized him as a continuity of the person they had known and loved all along, Scripture tells us they rejoiced. They received his greeting. They received his healing breath, his shalom, his peace. And then they knew that all they had gone through together with him was not a liability, was not a mortal wound, but rather was an unimaginably wonderful gift, an asset. So, as you think of your own scars, bring that old Buddhist question to bear. Is the glass half empty or half full? That is, what do you do with all your life experiences, with the sum of them, including the ones which have left you with scars? Will you let them keep you locked behind doors, fearful of what comes next? Or will you use them as resources, as a means of identifying with others in the common lot of being human. As a means of finding compassion within yourself and turning it into action. As a means of asserting the life and the love of the Christ as God's ultimate gift. Can you fling open the doors? Now, the next part of the story has always bothered me some. Hope it's bothered you, as well as other commentators through the age. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That always seemed like a kind of intrusion in the basic good news of this passage, somehow saying that Jesus and those who were really his disciples have the right to pass judgment on other people, to decide whether any given person will be cleansed or not. And I think this problem of just judgmentalism has been a great thorn in our side in 2,000 years of Christian history. At best, it causes elitism and a holier-than-thou attitude, but at worst, it causes pogroms and ethnic cleansings, things that are still going on in today's world. So how do we understand this passage? I've heard it hundreds of times before, as I'm sure you have, but suddenly, I hear it just a little differently. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, gone, no longer holding you back, no longer keeping you in fear and bitterness or vengeance. The actions taken against you, you have forgiven them, and they will not hold you back from the new life Christ offers. On the other hand, and this is the big one we often forget, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. It's not about the other folks, it's about you. You stay stuck in that harmful, negative place. You look at the scars and you think of the pain of the offense, instead of realizing that you are who you are from your own experiences. But the choice is yours whether or not you stay stuck in those pains and those wounds. Yes, we bear the scars of living on earth, but it's not the whole story of who we are. We, like Christ, can move past painful memories and pain. We can forgive. Imagine being in that upper room and Christ saying, "Here's the evidence of my suffering, my death, my wounds. This is part of who I am, but it does not leave me there. Now I am risen. I am the one who has refused to be bound by sin and death, the one who moves freely through locked doors and locked hearts and locked minds in order to inspire new life and new mission. Leave it behind, all of you. Move on. Open the doors and get on with it. Peace be with you." Stop for just a moment now as we close. Close your eyes if you want, and imagine what that peace looks like. Imagine a most peaceful scene in your mind's eye. Perhaps you are somewhere in God's beautiful creation, lying in a field, or sitting beside a waterfall, or swimming in a lake. Or maybe your kind of peace has other people in it, gathered around a feasting table, sleeping in a crib. This is the peace God envisions for us, an active, living, moving peace. It won't necessarily arrive perfectly packaged. Perfect picture. Remember those disciples behind their doors. Remember their terror, their fear of persecution. And realize that often the peace Christ breathes into us is something which arrives in less than ideal conditions and still works. We are still in the world, in these bodies, in the midst of suffering. We still have our wounds, but Christ is here as well, in our midst, and will not leave us suffering alone. Christ gives us the power of a new outlook, the ability to imagine another world, another reality. And it is that peace which enables us to throw open our doors and get on with it, creating the new life and peace in the world around us. Amen. On here before you can all hear me? All right, good. We gather in a time of prayer now. I invite you to speak aloud your joys, your thanksgivings, your pains, and your concerns, and folks in situations that you care about. If you see somebody back there, let me know. So prayers for all the winners of the marathon and the good times and the good stories we heard about from that, and also for the families who are still suffering from last year's tragedy.
sir?
Okay, prayers for Denise, for the goodness of your spiritual relationship and for the loss of her friendship. Yes. For prayers for Mary McAllister and her daughter. Okay. Anybody up there? No? Yes. Oh, wow. So for a wonderful experience in being in Washington and joining with other groups, it sounds like many different groups to, great, wonderful. Thanks be to God. Mm. Yes. Yeah. Cowboys and Indians together, and that's a theme in so many parts of the world. I ask your prayers now for South Sudan, where my husband is from, and for the war that's reemerged there, which in some ways is cowboys and Indians again. It's two groups of people, some of whom are nomadic and some of whom are settled, who can't seem to get themselves together. So prayers for their peace. Others? Yes. Okay, for your friend Jonathan as he struggles with cancer. Yeah, Alice. Thank you, Alice. Blessings on me, she invites, but also for our family in Africa. By the way, my mother-in-law is still going strong at 85 or 6. Although she's blind, she's still very much the heart of her family and church. So. Others? I have one more Thanksgiving that goes along with my friend Ed Lawrence, and I'm looking at Anne because Ed is also her friend. But he's had a wonderful life of making music within the church and in the college, and like most musicians, putting different pieces together to make it work. But he brings joy to so many people as a conductor of the chorale in Bennington, and I only hope he realizes how much he's accomplished and that they'll be able to go on with a new leader in the same spirit. Yes, for all the people, especially the parents suffering anguish in South Korea from the lost ferry, many of us know what it is to either lose or have a great problem with a child, and it's a pain like no other, so we think of them and their children. Yes. Great. Celebration for grant received and good healing work continuing. Yes. Okay, pray for your uncle and especially for your pet dog, did I hear you say? Yeah, and because that's like losing family too. And so prayers for all of you as you grieve. Nobody up there still? Let's take a moment of silence and then I will close us in prayer. Easter God, we come to you this morning, still riding high from the bright new day we had together last week, knowing that we cannot ride its crest forever. We ask you to help us remember that Christ's presence does remain with us, new at the dawn of every day. Even as we walk the peaks and the valleys, we are assured of your love. Hear the prayers of joy we have offered this morning, thanksgiving for the new gifts, the new lights that have appeared in our lives, for our visits with family, for our work towards social justice, for our work in healing, for new growth in the garden, for all those wondrous things that come our way. Hear also the petitions we leave before you, asking the surety of your presence in places where it is most needed, behind all the locked doors of grief, illness, loss, that we, our families, and our friends must face. We ask prayers for all the places where tempers still burn hot, where cowboys are still fighting Indians, where civilians suffer, in South Sudan, in Syria, in the Ukraine. We ask you to hear all the prayers that we have brought to you this morning, always and forever breathing your peace into us. Amen.
Masivi Arencia Kudumisa, Masivi Arencia Kudumisa, Masivi Amen Bawo, Amen Bawo, Arencia Kudumisa, sing Amen, Amen, we praise your name, O God, sing Amen, Amen, we praise your name. Sing amen, 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 we praise your name, O God.
And with that wonderful South African music, feel yourselves overflowing with love and generosity as we receive the offering.
I live with you, my friend.
God, we give you thanks for the ways you have blessed us, for the ways that you have made us assured of your presence. We ask that we be allowed to use these gifts to bring that into the world around us, that we fling open the doors and we stride out with a boldness that only you can give. We pray in your name. Amen. Invitations, which when I saw that, I said, I wonder what that means. But I think it means primarily that you are all invited to join one another over coffee and whatever goodies have been prepared out there, and also to look at all the wonderful things that appear in your bulletin and consider doing those during this next week.